evening, brethren. It's good to be back with you again this evening. Just for the ways of announcements, the only thing that needs to be brought up is next Sunday morning, there'll be a business meeting after the Sunday morning service. So next Sunday morning, we'll have a business meeting after the Sunday morning service. Lord willing, I'll be back with you all Sunday the 20th. And Lord willing, stay through to Wednesday the 23rd. Yeah, the 23rd. So Lord willing, I'll be back the 20th through the 23rd. Appreciate your prayers, continued prayers for just a place to live and a job. But this evening, if you can, if by now you haven't seen, I'm a little unorthodox in some things, in the way I do things. I don't fit the mold. That's just not me. But one thing, I know coming into a church sheep can get unsettled very easily because they're used to the way things are. But there's a few little tiny little things that I've got to change because it's just me. And one of them is this, please understand what I'm saying. I have a hard time singing out to God sitting down. In our church, we stand. And so I understand. So I say that this evening, that if you can't stand because of medical reasons or older, I completely understand. I ain't got no problem with that. But if you can stand, I'd like through our song services to be standing. So again, if you can't stand, I completely understand that. But if you can, I believe it's honoring to God to stand and be able to sing out to Him because He's worthy of all glory, honor, and praise. So this evening, if you take your blue hymn book, we're going to start on page number 175. Page number 175 in the blue hymn book, there is a fountain filled with blood.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Craig, use up in prayer this evening, brother.
Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you, Lord, for the time that we can gather together as believers into your house. Amen. Lord, we just thank you for the many answered prayers that you have recently given to Ray Street Baptist Church. And we come before you with thankful hearts.
Amen.
We pray that you would be with Pastor Weldon this evening, Lord, and give him the words to say. Speak to our hearts that we may draw from your word what we need to draw closer to you.
Amen.
And may we be doers of the word, not just hearers. We pray these things in your precious Son, in our Savior's name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Brother, we'll go on over to page number 417. Page number 417. It is well with my soul. Has the victory over Satan,
yes,
that he has the keys of death and hell,
yes.
and that we have victory in Him tonight. If it is well with your soul, there is nothing to be worried about this evening. Page number 673, we'll finish up on page number 673 when we all get to heaven. Amen.
Tell us about Jesus. And that's what this song is called. Tell me one more time about Jesus. Before I sing, I want to let you know they took my grandfather, Bill Stout, went to the hospital today. He's dehydrated. He can't keep any food down. So keep him in prayer. I think he's going to be all right. They just need to get some fluids into him. So keep him in prayer, Bill Stout. Tell me one more time about Jesus. All about forgiveness and grace. Tell me one more time about Jesus. All about my Savior's faith. Here comes my old friend, the preacher. He's knocking on my front door. As I'm trying to save all the sinners. He's been here so many times before. Man, that preacher sure can talk. He brings up my need for salvation. stubborn to a fault. Tell me one more time about Jesus. All about forgiveness and grace. Tell me one more time about Jesus. Lord, I need just a little more faith. Church Sunday morning, slipped on in the back row. It's sure been a long time coming. Preacher, tell me what I need to know. Like a cool drink of water. But he said, sinners, come on down the aisle. So I went running for the altar. You should have seen my old friend, the preacher, smile. Tell me one more time about Jesus, all about forgiveness and grace. Tell me one more time about Jesus. I want to see my Savior's face. Tell me one more time about Jesus. All about forgiveness and grace. Tell me one more time about Jesus. I want to see my Savior's face.
The truth this evening, we want to see Jesus and we want to see his face. In the book of Revelation, chapter number 4, I'm not going to preach there this evening, but it says in Revelation 4:11, it says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." You know, that's why I'm here this evening. And that's why we should all be here this evening, is to worship God. That's one of the things with singing, is when you sing out, you're singing to God. You're singing to nobody else but to him, because he's worthy of all glory, honor, power, praise. It's all to him. And that is exactly why we're here this evening. We're here to bring glory and honor and praise to him, to worship God. Okay, that's why we were created, to worship and serve him. And that's why we're meeting this evening on a Sunday night at 6 o'clock or 6:30 in the evening. We come together in a building to meet with Jesus. We got a little placard on our pulpit back home there in Charleston that says, anybody that comes up or preaches or does anything behind a pulpit, it says, "Sir, we would see Jesus." We would see Jesus. And that is why we're here this evening, is to get something from the Lord and to worship him. If you take your Bibles this evening, what I would like to do, starting with the times that I come up here on Sunday evenings, is to start looking at the book of 1 Thessalonians. I'd like to do a little study through the book of 1 Thessalonians. So if you'd please stand for the reading of God's word this evening, if you can stand, if it's possible. For the reading of God's word this evening, I'm going to read the first verse here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We'll just take a little bit of time tonight to just look at this first verse here in Thessalonians. But it says in verse number 1, chapter number 1, it says, "Paul and Silvanus,
and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this evening, dear God. I thank you again for the opportunity to come back out here tonight, Lord, to worship and to praise and to glorify you. Lord, you're worthy of all of it, Father, and I pray that that would be our heart's desire, Lord, to give you all of our life, dear God. And Lord, that we would serve you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, dear God, because you first loved us. Help us to love you back as we ought. Lord, I pray you'd help us now as we look in your word here in 1 Thessalonians. I pray you lead, guide, and direct. I pray you just give wisdom and guidance, Lord. No more, say no less, dear God. Just give me the words to speak. Pray you just be with the brethren, Lord. Watch over them and help them. And Lord, just help us to look to you now this evening. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Y'all may be seated. 1 Thessalonians, this epistle here that Paul wrote to Thessalonians was one of his first letters that he ever wrote. And he wrote it from Corinth, they say, around AD 54. And it was he wrote it shortly after he departed from Thessalonica. But the Bible says here in verse number 1, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father, and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. If you take your Bibles, flip on over to Acts chapter number 17. Acts chapter 16 and 17. We're going to look at chapter 17 here, verse number 1. But Acts 16 and 17 deals with Paul and his time that when he wrote to Thessalonica. But here in Acts chapter 17, look at verse number 1. Acts chapter 17, verse number 1, and we're going to read to verse number 9 and see what Paul dealt with. It says, "Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs suffer and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is the Christ." Brethren, one thing I want you to realize real quick here is that the Bible says in verse 2 that he reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. So one thing you'll notice with my teaching and preaching, I'm going to give you some Bible. I'm going to give you Bible. Why? Because that is what you need to deal with society today, deal with individuals out there on the street, at your job, wherever you may be. It's the sword of the Spirit that does the job. Not our opinion, not what we think, but what does the Bible say? What does the Word of God say? So if somebody has a question or a statement, we ought to know a Bible and ask the Lord God to give us wisdom and guidance as we go about our daily business, to give us that scripture that may be needed for that particular moment. Because it's the Word of God that's going to get the job done, not our opinion. We can argue about our opinions all day long. We talk just something simple as sports teams. We can have a different opinion on sports teams. We could have a different opinion on food, on clothing, on colors. We could all have our own opinion on these things, and nobody's more right than the other when it comes to opinions on those types of things. But when it comes to the Word of God, that's what God says. Either you take it and receive it or you don't. I can't help what you do with it. It's just that's what God says. And people aren't arguing with you then. They have a problem with God's Word. Do you understand this evening? So I'm going to give you Bible, but the purpose of having a Bible is that it gives you something later on for the Holy Spirit to bear witness with in your life. As you're dealing with people, you're like, oh, all of a sudden a scripture coming to my mind. That's the Holy Spirit giving you that because you spent time in the Word and he has something to give you because you spent time with it. Does that make sense? So look what Paul does. Paul is an example here to us. He says, verse 2, "And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned," look how he reasoned, "reasoned with them out of the Scriptures." Paul went into them and he took the Word of God, which was the Old Testament at that time, and he said, "Listen, see what the Old Testament says about the Messiah. See what the Old Testament says about Christ. You can't argue with what God says." So Paul reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. Okay? And look at verse number 4. "And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. Look, you start using the sword of spirit, other spirits are going to come out. When you start using Bible, and when you start using scripture to reason with individuals, I said this a few weeks ago, a while back when I was with you, sometimes you got to realize of what spirit you're dealing with behind the individual that you're talking with. Okay, and we're gonna see that here as we look at some things, some of the scripture. Sometimes you look at an individual and you think that you're dealing with them, that it's them that has the attitude with you. It could be an evil spirit that they have that is causing the problems in their life. And so we need to have that spiritual discernment about us. We need to have a spiritual walk and look past the flesh and look to the spirit behind the thing. Okay? So back to 1 Thessalonians here. Keep your hand there in Acts 16 because we're going to go flip back over to there again. But if you notice here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 that there's two individuals with Paul. He has Silvanus and he has Timotheus. He has two brothers of like faith and passion following him and being with him to encourage him. Brethren, how we need one another. We can't go at this alone. We need the brethren. Paul, thank the Lord, had Silvanus and Timotheus with him. Okay? If one falls, gets discouraged, you got two there to help lift you up and encourage you. Say, come on, brother. Come on, sister. I know you're down right now, but come on, we can keep going. We can keep going for the Lord. You know, I talked a little bit about sheep a few weeks ago. It's when a sheep gets by itself that it starts getting in trouble. And when we as believers start getting by ourselves or start getting isolated in our own little world and our own little thing that we got going on and we get separated from the brethren, that's a prime opportunity for the enemy to pounce in our life and to discourage us. We need one another and we need to stay together with one another and we need to pray for one another that the enemy would have no advantage over us, okay? So Paul's got Silvanus and Timotheus. I want to take a little time this evening to look at Silvanus. He was a special brother in Christ that loved God. He was also known as Silas. Take your Bible and look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse number 19. It talks about Silvanus here, Silas. 2 Corinthians 1:19. 2 Corinthians 1, verse number 19. Look what Paul says as he's writing to the brethren at Corinth. 2 Corinthians 1, verse number 19, he says, "For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea." So you see here, as he's writing to those in Corinth, that Silvanus and Timotheus are with him, and they preach unto the brethren there. So something about Silvanus or Silas. In Acts chapter 15:22. Is his first appearance, and he was a leader of the church at Jerusalem in Acts chapter 15, verse 22. In verse 32 of Acts chapter 15, he was, flip on over there, look at Acts chapter 15, we're going to stay over in Acts now. Acts chapter 15, I gave you verse 22, it says, "Then pleased it the apostles and elders and the whole church to send chosen men of their company, of their own company, to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas," look at, "namely Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas, chief among the brethren." So we see here with Silvanus or Silas that he was chief among the brethren. If you flip or go on down to verse number 32, he's mentioned again. And it says, "And Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them." And if you go down to verse number 40, "And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God." So Silas was recommended by the brethren. He had a good testimony among the brethren that he was with. We ought to have a good testimony amongst one another's. It's important to have a good testimony. It's important for people to see that there's a difference in you. Your testimony matters. And Silas had a good testimony, not only among the brethren, but I believe also among the people that he interacted with. Now, Paul chose Silas, and something I want to look at here real quick with it concerning Silas is that we pray and we ask God to move in our lives in order to do something for him. I don't know about you, but I pray, I said, "Lord, I pray you use me. God, use me in my life. Use me as a testimony at work. Use me out in the community. Lord, use me for your honor and your glory. But sometimes I don't think we realize all that may be entailed with that. Because look here in Acts chapter 16, verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. So Paul has this vision of a man over in Macedonia, and in his vision, this man says to him, come over and help us in Macedonia. Now remember, Silas is with him and also Timotheus. Verse number 10, and after he had seen the vision, immediately he endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. So Paul had assurance, God bore witness to Paul that yes, I want you to go over to Macedonia, that vision you saw, yes, I want you to go do that. And Paul then endeavored to go into Macedonia. Verse 11, therefore loosing from Troas, he came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony. And we're in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and she had tended to those things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she sought us, saying, if you judge me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. So far, Paul here, things are going well. Things are going good. God's given him a vision. God says, this man says in a vision, I want you to come over and help us here in Macedonia. Paul gets assurance from God that's what God wants him to do. And he tries to get there to Macedonia. He gets there. And here you have this woman. God's opened up a wonderful door. The Lord opened her heart. It appears she gets saved. She gets baptized. Things are going well. And look at verse 16 now. And it came to pass as he went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. So as they're having this time of prayer, going to pray, there's this young lady, this damsel, but she's possessed with a spirit of divination. A spirit of divination is one that can foretell the future. Somebody who can say something that's going to happen in the future. And as we read through this story here, as most of you probably already know, she brought her masters much money by this devil that she had. She brought much money to her masters. There was much profit with having this young lady in these masters' lives. And she followed Paul. Look what the verse 17 says. The same followed Paul and us, referring to Timotheus and Silas, and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Now, brother, I want you to see something there in verse 17. Did she say anything that was wrong? No. She's speaking truth. You understand? She's speaking truth. Look, this damsel, she's got a spirit of divination. She's got devils. And these devils are giving her powers to be able to foretell some type of future event. And somehow, I don't know how it all works in the spiritual realm. I don't want to know. That's not my deal. But there's entities around us, both angels and devils, that exist. There's a whole spiritual side out there that our eyes are blind to, and thank God our eyes are blinded to it. It's none of our business to get into that realm. Okay, our realm's right here, and we need to be concerned with right here and with what the Word of God says. But Paul is going to pray, and this young lady's following him. And this young lady says in verse number 17, these men are the servants of the Most High God. That's true. Paul, Silvanus, and Timotheus, they are servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. True. Paul is preaching the way of salvation by Jesus Christ. But she's got the wrong spirit. Right? We need to be careful. Just because someone says they love Jesus doesn't mean it's coming from God. Just because somebody is carrying a Bible doesn't mean that they can't be possessed or have a problem or with an evil spirit. That's why it's so important to stay in the Word of God. That's why it's so important to be in church. That's why it's so important to pray. And that's why it's so important to be separated from the world. You may not know what's going on in someone's life, but so often God will give you little red flags if you're looking. Look, the devil always marks his stuff. Look, God's not going to leave us out here to where we don't know what's going on. If we're walking with God, there ought to be something with our spirit that says something doesn't bear witness with your spirit. Right? Same with believers. Look, I've been on the mission field before, and there's some people that I can't even speak their language, but it's like this. Like, they're a brother in Christ, and it's just together, and we can't even converse with one another without a translator. But I know they're saved, and there's just this connection because of what God brings into our lives as believers. And there's been other times where people are saying all the right things, and it's like, I don't know, something ain't right, but I don't know what it is, but something's just not clicking. This damsel here, she's speaking the right thing. She says, these are servants of the Most High God. They show us the way of salvation. Look at verse 18 now. And this she did many days. She did this to Paul and Silas and Timotheus. For many days she's found them. Many days she's saying things. Because look what it says. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit. Paul turns and says to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. Now listen here, brethren. I don't believe it's the job of today's believers to be casting out devils. All right, Paul's an apostle. He's got special gifts from God. And Acts is a transition book. And so it's not our duty to go around and I'm going to start casting out. You're going to get yourself in trouble. You're going to get yourself in big trouble. Okay? So understand that. I'm not saying deceive, deceiving. Okay, brethren, we can all get the gift and we'll have discernment to go out here and cast out devils. Oh, no, 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 no. No. That's not our realm. You say, well, brother, what do you do? What do you do with someone that may be possessed with a devil or has a spirit of divination? What do you do, brother? You pray. If God puts upon your heart, you fast. What did Jesus say? This spirit comes out by prayer and fasting. You have a close walk with God. And look, you know your Bible. And when opportunities arise, you use Scripture. The Bible says, the Word of God says, I know, but the Bible says, and you let God lead and guide and direct you. And let God take care of it. Okay? I'll say this too. Make sure that everything's straight in your own life before you start going down that road. Right? Make sure there's no kinks in your armor. You're fully armored up. You're walking with God like you ought to walk. Everything's clear between you and Him. There's nothing there that's wrong that you need to make right. And then go forth out into the battle with the sword of spirit. But Paul, he was grieved. He was grieved by the Spirit. Yes, she's saying all the right things, but it's grieving me. Take your Bible and look over at Mark chapter 5, verse number 15. Well, no. Don't go to Mark. I'm sorry. I want to look over at Acts chapter number 8. I want to show you something. So with that damsel, she's speaking the truth to Paul and the Silas and Timotheus. She's saying true things, okay? You can't argue with what she's saying. But the spirit behind it's not right. But again here, remember I talked about Samaria this morning and how it was a mess. Philip goes down to Samaria and he preaches unto those people. And he deals with Simon the sorcerer. But one thing I want you to notice about Simon the sorcerer that's very similar to this damsel. Look at verse number 13. Then Simon himself, look what it says. Then Simon himself believed also. What did he believe? He believed what Philip was preaching and teaching about Jesus Christ. And then look what he does. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and the signs which were done. Brethren, you can believe and you can even be baptized and you can even say the right things and you're still not saved and right with God. Okay, that's what the Bible says. Simon the sorcerer, it says he believed, he was baptized, that damsel saying true things about Paul and Silas and Timotheus, yet both of them are not right with God. They have a spirit. So The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right? The devils, but the Bible says in the book of James that the devils also believe that there is one God. The devils know the truth. Okay? So I'm saying this this evening that we make sure that we know where we truly stand with God. Okay, that we that his, and I say it a lot, that his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are a child of God. That it's just not a belief that is in vain, but it's a belief that brings a change in our life. Does that make sense? Because that belief that Simon had did not bring a change in his life, because look what it says down here in verse number 21. Look what Peter says to him. Peter says to Simon in verse 21, thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter. Look what he says, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Yes, Simon, you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross. You believe that Jesus died for our sins. You believe that he was risen from the grave. You believe that maybe he can save you, but your heart is not right with God. Why? Because you have an ulterior motive, Simon. The only reason you're believing, the only reason you were baptized is because you think you can get a gain by following God. You think you can put money in your pocket more so than what you had before because, Simon, you realize that you now lost power with the people that you had control over. A bigger gun came into town, stole your congregation, and now you're looking for a way to get it back and make more money off of them. Do you understand? So have discernment and a walk with God that, yeah, you listen to what people say, but also try to discern what kind of spirit do they have. Is it a spirit that bears witness? It was your spirit. Does it line up with Scripture? Or is it just empty words? They're saying the right thing, but something's just not right spiritually. Okay? So back to Acts chapter number 16. So Paul rebukes the spirit. The spirit leaves. This girl gets deliverance. What glory, what honor, what praise unto God. This girl's been delivered of a devil. Everybody's praising God and everything goes good from here. No, actually everything goes down the toilet now. Brethren, when we try to walk with God, look, and I believe this as a church. This is really my sincere desire. Following in his dad's footsteps, following in your pastor's footsteps of 44 years, it is my desire to come in here and make this church such a blinding light that if people don't even come in here, they get blinded while they walk by it or drive by it. Amen. Do you understand? If there's only this right here, and this is all that's ever here until God calls us home by the rapture of the grave, but if it's blazing light, that's all I care about. I want people to walk by here and be bothered by what's going on in here and then not know why they're bothered. Because the Spirit of God is in this place, and God's moving, the Holy Spirit's doing something with us, and it bothers them while they walk by the church, they have no clue why all of a sudden they get irritated is because the Holy Spirit's in here, and the devils that aren't there get bothered by it. But brethren, with that desire comes attacks. The devil's just not going to sit by and say, well, you know, now they're trying to just try to really live for God, and just I just can't do. No, now is when the battle comes in. So we need to be aware of it and ready for it when it happens so it doesn't catch us unawares. Like, what had just happened? I'm trying to live for God. Now everything's going down the toilet. Well, expect it. Because that usually is a sign you're doing the right thing.
Yeah, that's right.
Usually when things start getting bad and it seems like everything's falling apart, chances are you're on the right path. Okay? So expect that. So Paul's like, I got this vision from God. There's a man over in Macedonia. I'm going to go over here and I'm going to help him. And we see Lydia get saved. The Lord opens her heart. And we see this young girl delivered of a spirit of divination. And everybody's going to be happy. Verse number 19. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they called Paul and Silas and they thanked them that this young lady was delivered of that spirit that she had. No, and they drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers. And brought them into the magistrate, saying, these men being Jews do exceedingly, look what it says, trouble our city. You're a trouble. You're causing problems. You're causing issues. You're causing things to go wrong in this city. Well, because you delivered a girl that she had a spirit of divination? Expect it. Expect for people to look and say, that church is a problem. That church causes issues. That church has got just causing, try to stir up the community. Because you're trying to live for God. Okay? Verse number Verse number 21, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. It's just going from worse to worse to worse to worse. Paul, Silas, they get beaten. They get their clothes ripped off. They get brought up on false charges that they're committing a crime against the nation of Rome. And they're thrust into the inner prison by that jailer. And their feet are made fast in the stocks. They can't even move around. They throw them into that inner prison and they lock up their feet. Now remember, this is Paul and Silas. Now, I don't know where Timotheus is. I don't know if Timotheus got out on this one. I don't know where he's at, but Silas is with Paul here. And look what they do in verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Right? They sing and they praise unto God. That's why song service is so important also, to where you praise God. Evil spirits don't like praising God and music. And you see that with David and Saul. What did they call for? They called for David to bring in a harp and to play upon that harp. And when that harp was played, that evil spirit departed from Saul when that music was being played. When the music was gone, that evil spirit came back at some point. And notice that God sent that evil spirit. That evil spirit came back and it plagued Saul. But when that harp was played, that music was played, that evil spirit had to leave. So that's why when you sing out to God in the song service, you ought to sing with all that you have within you. You ought to pour out your heart. You ought to pour out your voice out to God and give him glory and honor, because if there's any evil influence in here, it cannot handle it. Okay? Now, again, I don't know how all this works, but I know evil spirits do not like godly music. And so often the Bible shows us that they depart when it occurs, because look what happens. The prisoners heard them. And look what it says in verse 26. And suddenly, what? When Saul and Silas were praying and singing praise to God, suddenly there was a great earthquake. But look what it did. So that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And look what it says. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. So immediately when they were praying and they were singing, God brought this earthquake that shook the foundations. Every door was open in the prison, and every prisoner was loosed from the prison that he was in. Look, that's a picture of praising God during the song service. The prison doors may open up in somebody's life. Their eyes may be open and enlightened to the truth of God's word. Now, whether they receive it and take hold of it, that's between them and God. But the opportunity is there for them to be set free by the blood of Jesus Christ, just like the opportunity was there for them to be set free physically because God came in there and moved. Do you see the picture between the two? So when you sing and you praise God and you come in here with an attitude of prayer, the prison doors may be open in somebody's life, their eyes might be open to the truth that's being preached or sung about, and they may see their need of salvation because it's cleared up for a moment. The evil spirit's not blinding them to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, as it talks about in Corinthians. So do you see the importance of these things? Not saying that they're going to get saved. They still have a choice. But now there's a clear vision of where they really truly stand with God. That's why it's so important to make sure, again, where we stand and make sure our lives are clean before our Savior as we come in here and worship and praise him. Because we don't know what's going on around us. And we don't know where people stand spiritually. Okay? We need God working in our services. So they sang and they praised. The prison doors were open and everyone's bands were loose. Verse 27, and the keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep. And seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in, came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" You see the open door that this provided? The Bible gives us no insight on what happened to those other prisoners in there. They didn't leave. Paul says, "You're good," to the jailer. "You don't have to kill yourself." But this jailer was bothered. The Bible says that that jailer thrust Paul and Silas into that prison. He was pretty rough with them. I don't know if he had a part in their beating, but the Bible says that he thrust them into that inner prison and made sure to feed on the stocks in their feet. And he goes off about his business. He hears Saul. He probably hears Saul, Paul praying and singing. He's over here, and he eventually dozes off, and they're still singing and praying. He's dozed off wherever he's at, and it's dark. And all of a sudden, man, this earthquake wakes this man up. And then he realizes, uh-oh, everything, all the doors are open. It seems like everybody's loose. They're not bound down. And he gets scared, and so he pulls out his sword, and he's like, they're going to kill me anyways. The Roman government's going to kill me anyways because these prisoners are going to escape. I might as well just not take the beating and the killing from them, and I'll just take my own life. And Paul says, no, everybody's here. And look what the open door gives to where this man says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And Paul says to him, verse 31, they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. He believed in God with all his heart. And God changed him and made him a new creature in Jesus Christ. But you see this schooling, this learning that Silas is getting from Paul. And it's a rough school. I don't think there's any Bible college out here that or churches today that have young men in it that are learning to preach and try to follow God, that anywhere in this country anyways, to where they have an opportunity to get beat or thrown into prison for what they're preaching and teaching. Silas is going through the school of God, but he stays faithful with it, and he's faithful following Paul, and he sees God do some wonderful and miraculous things here to where this Philippian jailer gets saved. You know that man there that we read about in the first part there in Acts about that man from Macedonia crying out? God sent him over there to Macedonia, but it came at a price. It came at a price tag. Okay? If we want to see souls saved, we want to see people come to God, it's going to come at a price. A sacrifice is a sacrifice. And it's going to cost us something. It's just not going to get laid at our feet. No, we're going to have to be willing to sacrifice and let God work in our life, no matter how hard it might be. Well, God, this is uncomfortable. Well, God might have it be uncomfortable because he wants you to draw closer to him and have a closer walk with him and have more power with him. For God has not given a spirit of fear, but of power. We need power. We need power in our life. The power that comes from God through his scriptures and a walk with him. And Paul and Silas had that power, but there was a price tag with it. Silas could have easily, listen, and Silas was a Roman citizen, and as you read through that story, Paul could have pulled out the Roman citizen's trump card saying, hey, before you throw us in here, we're Romans. Because you can read later, they come say you can leave, and they're like, no, well, I'm not leaving. What do you mean you ain't leaving? Because I'm a Roman citizen, and you brought us in here, you know, unjustly. But he didn't. He took that beating so that that man might have an opportunity to get saved. There was a reason why he took it. But there's a price tag to it. And when you try to follow God and love God, there's going to be a price tag to it. And I say this in my own life. The reason I'm here is because God wants me to be up here. I believe God's opened up the door to be up here. But there's a price tag to it. Right? And I don't speak this to make anybody feel bad, but leaving my home church that I love for 20 years, my pastor, my brethren, my home. But I love y'all. But there's a price tag to it. It's going to cost me something. It's going to cost me my friends down there. But I love God and I want to serve God. And that's why I'm here. And I love y'all. I love you. But my desire is for us to draw close to God. But as you have that desire to try to draw close to God, there's going to be a price tag with it. I guess the question this evening as we close up here in prayer, are you willing to pay the price? Whatever it may be. But know in this, brethren, that what the price that God asks you to pay, it's not something you can't bear. He's not going to lay something upon you that you can't handle. And what he lays upon you, he'll help you bear it. And he'll be right there with you through the whole process. Because he'll never leave us nor forsake us. But he asks us to sacrifice. Because when you give a sacrifice, God can do something with that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this evening, Lord. I thank you for these precious brethren. I thank you, Lord. Lord, I am thankful this evening, dear God, that we can preach your word without the fear of being thrown into prison and beaten. Lord, I thank you that we have liberty, dear God, in this wonderful country that we live in. Dear God, there's a lot of issues. There's a lot of problems. Our country's a mess. But our country is not such a mess that we can't still meet freely and worship you. Dear God, help us to take advantage of the time that we do have. Lord, to put forth your word, to put forth the gospel of the precious Lord Jesus Christ, to live as a light and a testimony to this dark and dying world. Lord, I pray for Ray Street Baptist Church, what was established 44 some years ago, dear God. I pray, Lord, that the light would continue to shine and shine brighter than it's ever shined before. And Lord, that people would be bothered in this community as they drive by this church or they walk by this church. Lord, that you would draw them in, those that you would have to be here. And Lord, that it would just be a beacon and a light and a testimony to this community. God, help us to stay faithful to you, Lord. The times where the devil jumps in and discourages us and we want to quit, we want to throw it all in, we want to say, what is the worth of doing this? Help bring back to our memory, Lord, what Paul and Silas went through. Lord, help bring back to our memory what you went through for us. And Lord, I pray that you would just lift us up and help us to continue to fight the good fight of faith for thee. Lord, help these precious brethren through this week. Lord, I pray you bring them back safely Wednesday night. And Lord, just as we depart, watch over us on the roadways, Lord, and just bring us home safely. And we ask this all now in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to close with a hymn, if you don't mind. Page number 357. Page number 357. This is one of my favorite hymns in the hymn book, page number 357. We'll close it out with this song right here, page 357. Yeah, if you please stand.
There's a sweet and blessed story of the Christ who came from glory just to rescue me from sin and misery. He in loving kindness sought me and from sin and shame and
Our Father, we thank you that we were in church tonight. We thank you that you brought Brother Welton to us. We thank you for everything you've done for us. We thank you for these songs that we have. Amen. Hundreds of songs that we can sing back to you. Amen. And we thank you for this time. We thank you for the preaching of the word. We pray that you would draw each person closer to yourself tonight. Those that are hurting, those that are sick. Yes. We pray that you would strengthen everyone, encourage everyone. Help us to be encouraged with the things we've heard, sung, and fellowship together with today. And we just pray that you would give us safety as we go our way and bring us back at the next appointed time. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Love y'all. Amen.